like they just have a knack for finding truth. And then other people, it seems like they just can't do it. They can't find it. They want to find truth. They want to find counsel. They want to find advice, but they're not. And they look and they don't see it anywhere. And that's because they've chosen a foolish path and they're refusing to listen along the way. And really, this passage kind of expands on that idea a little bit as we look into this, because sometimes you'll be at a place in life, I know I have been, where especially at younger ages, and as a youth pastor, I saw this a lot, where you'd take teens to camp, or you'd take teens to a youth rally or something, and you can just guarantee that the preacher is going to be preaching on either entertainment, worldliness and things, or purity, or entertainment or purity, those four things, you know. And you just know it, they're going to be on those things because that's an issue where teens live. That's just kind of the issues that they're dealing with at the time. And so a lot of those things come up a lot. And sometimes you'll hear preachers seem to repeat a lot of the same basic truths along the way. We need to read our Bible. I've mentioned trust and obey a billion times, you know, and it just seems like that's something that we often deal with. And sometimes a young adult or a person, no doubt, feels like they're being spotlighted, you know, like they're just focusing on this issue and they won't let it go. And then others just seem to move right along. It's like they learn and they go forward and they learn along the way. And maybe sometimes it feels like you're in, you know, spiritual first grade and you just can't bump up to the next level. You know, you want to grow, you want to get up there, but it's just hard to do. And sometimes it is. As Jesus is teaching his disciples here, he's helping them understand what his purpose is for them in the kingdom, in the church. And that's what he's helping them understand is what the church is going to be. And our goal as Christians is not to just sit there and learn and just absorb knowledge. That's not our point. Our point as Christians, the point for the disciples is to do something. And I think that's why Jesus started out with this parable of the soils, because the purpose of the plant is to bear fruit. And if we're not bearing fruit, then really there's no point. That's why it's there. The reason we plant cotton is to harvest cotton. It's not just so that we can have something to look out there in the field because green's better than brown. No, that's not the point. We want to grow something, and it needs to bear fruit. And so the parable of the soils taught us that the fruit that we bear is related to the dirt that we're in, our hearts, and our heart needs to be right in order to bear things. So Jesus is in the process of helping his disciples understand some mysteries, is what he's calling them, to understand some things, to understand some truths that aren't just on the surface, but to help us understand kind of the deeper meanings behind these things. So with that in mind, he comes to verse 21, and he starts talking about candles. Okay, now that what does that have to do with this? Well, when he says a candle, the way that he describes this, he asks a question. He says, "Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed?" Now, as I studied this out, and you may have noticed this too, we've heard the candle under a bushel from the Sermon on the Mount about, you know, you need to let your light so shine before men, don't hide it under a bushel, I'm going to let it shine, right? And that's how we are most familiar with this parable. This is a different parable. It's the same idea as a candle, but it's not being applied to us sharing the gospel. So we got to get that. It's hard for us to do that because we keep that song gets stuck in our heads. And so, but he's not talking about sharing the gospel. He's talking about learning things. Because look at how he describes this. He says, "Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel?" He says, here's a situation where a candle has been brought in. Okay? It's been brought in for a purpose. Why are candles brought in? Well, we have birthday candles. Those are brought in for a reason, right? Someone has a birthday and they sing and they bring in birthday candles. Why do we have birth? I didn't study out the history. I think it's so we can set the cake on fire and everybody can see how old you are. Because depending on how old you are is how soon the smoke alarm goes off. I don't know, something like that. I think the president's calling, so that's okay, no problem. So we have birthday candles and we bring them in for a purpose. And sometimes smoke alarms go off and sometimes they don't, and that's okay. This candle's different. It's not just a candle. In our culture, we don't do candles for a whole lot of reasons unless the power goes out, and then we're getting candles out in order to see, and that's kind of the idea. In their day, you're bringing in a candle because you need to find something. And that's the point. They would use a light or a flashlight, might be our equivalent, in order to find things. And so the brighter the light, the better. That's what they want to do. They used candles because that's what they used before cell phones were invented. Now we just have our cell phone light on the back, and we're walking around with our phones trying to find stuff, you know, and that's just kind of how we do it. They didn't have cell phones, so they had to use candles, and so that's what they did. And you want to bring in a bright light, and it's brought in to find something. It's not brought in to hide. It's brought in to find something. As I thought about this, I went back, and I think I've shared this before. Probably the most terrified I've ever been in my life was when I learned how to scuba dive when I was over at Alert doing my paramedic training. I know I've mentioned this before, but you go underwater, and in those lakes, it's not like you go out to Hawaii where you can see down like a mile into the. It's like going to some swamp or something. You know, not swamp, but it's just a dark water, and you get down about that far, and then you just can't see anymore, and so you're going around, and there may be nothing there, but in your mind, there are everything. There's alligators, there's things, and this is East Texas, so there were alligators in places, and so you're going around underwater, and having a light in the dark water was critical, and it was weird. Those lights were super bright, and when you're in dark water and you turn on those lights, I mean, I'm not kidding, it looks like a lightsaber, because it's so dark, it's just like this cone of light. And I remember looking at the list of things I needed to take the class. It was like, it was all cool stuff. You're like, cool, you get a mask, and you get a wetsuit, and you get a dive knife, and you get a light. I'm like, that's kind of cool. You get to bring a little light, kind of like an accessory or, you know, a thing like that. It's not an accessory. It's not something you bring just because you want to be cool. It is critical. The reason I'm not in the funny farm today is because I brought a light with me, because I would have gone absolutely insane there, because you have to have that light to shine around and see things, because you're without that light, you're expecting to turn around and there's going to be a crocodile like right there. Look, I'm having a nightmare right now just describing this, but that's what it was like. And so the dive light made me slightly less terrified of dark water because it had a purpose. You brought that in order to find stuff. And the purpose of our training was search and recovery. We're looking for stuff. And so you have to have that. It's not an optional thing. You bring it in for a purpose. You don't bring in that light and tie it to your leg and be cool about it. No, it is to be readily available for a reason. Now, we're not talking about just finding things. What Jesus is talking about, he says the light is brought in, and it's brought in for a purpose. It's not brought in to be put under a bushel or under a bed, but it's brought in to be set on a candlestick, to be put in its place so you can find something. And that's what he says. There's nothing hid which shall not be manifested. He's saying, look, there are things, there are mysteries, and this is what Jesus is talking about. The context here is he's saying there are mysteries that need to be revealed. There are things in this Bible that are important, and I think the principle is true even after this part of the Bible was written, the part to come. There are things in here that we need to know. And so we need to have some illumination. We need to have light brought in order to help us understand that. And the reason that light is brought in is because there's something in the dark. I know this is very simple, but if it wasn't dark, we wouldn't need a light, right? I mean, there's things here, but it's going to require some study. It's going to require some effort in order to find it. And Jesus, of course, is the light that has come in. He's the master. He's the expert that's coming in. If you had a kid that maybe if you had a class of kids maybe in school that were wanting to be scientists or something, and they're training to be scientists, and let's say you have a NASA expert, he's literally a rocket scientist, you know, and he comes in to provide some training for them. And the reason he would come in, he's coming in because he wants to show them how they can become the best, how they can learn along the way. There may be some baby steps that they need to learn, and he may help them with that. He's coming in because he's the expert, and there are things that they need to know. You would bring the scientist in because there's things that they need to know. And what he's saying here is the reason a candle is brought in is because there are things that you need to know. And so God has given us some things that, or some ways for us to learn. He the things that are hid are not to stay hidden. The reason they're hidden is so we will go to the effort to find them. And so we need experts and we need things in our life. And God has put those things there. God has given us some things, has put some things in place for the growing Christian. And when you think about it, this makes so much sense. He's given us, first of all, and most importantly, the Holy Spirit. When a person gets saved, when a person trusts Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit of God moves in to that person, which is really neat when you think about it, that God created us. We are physical beings. We're physical people, but we have the equipment to house a spiritual being, okay? That's what makes us different from dogs and cats and fish and water buffalo, is that they can't have the Holy Spirit move inside of them, okay? We can do that. God can come in and indwell us with His Spirit, and when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit of God indwells us, and He begins to work on our inside, on our person. That's how I try to describe it to my boys, is that your soul is who you are. It's the person on the inside, and that's what the Holy Spirit comes in to help us with, is to help our person become more like Christ. And that's what helps us more like our conscience when we hear instruction, when we read the Scripture. That Spirit within us is what helps us learn and realize, oh, that's what's right. Oh, that's why that's wrong. And those light bulb moments, those illuminating moments come about because God brought the light in. Why? So that those hidden things can be revealed. And that's a tool that God gave us, that God has given us to understand that. Why don't the lost get it sometimes? Well, because they're in the dark. They don't have that just yet. And so that's why they may hear and not understand, or they may see but not actually see what's going on. And so we have the Holy Spirit. Now, these other things work with that. God has also given us the Scripture. Okay? God has not left us to just come up with ideas, and I'm so glad that He didn't, because we would come up with the weirdest things. You know, and you look at the religions around the world and people, I mean, the Hare Krishnas have a little ponytail so God can pull them up to heaven. I mean, who comes up with this stuff? I mean, just someone on something. I don't know. And so I'm thankful that we don't just have to be left to ourselves to come up with our own way, because that would be totally messed up. So God has given us the Scripture. He's given it to us in written form and in a way that's black. It's literally a textbook for us to be able to look at and go through our life. And we have in our culture, I mean, in the United States of America, in the English-speaking culture, we have the preserved Word of God in English, and we have an accurate copy of that right here. And I don't sit and pound every single service about the King James and all of that, and that can be made even more of an issue. It's an important issue, but the reason why we use the King James is because it is the best translation from the best manuscripts, and it's accurate, and it's not been proven wrong. And if you study it, you can understand it. I've yet to find something. I'm a homeschooled kid from Oklahoma, and I've yet to find a passage that I can that if you take the time to study it out, you can understand it along the way. Now we are a privileged people because we have an accurate translation of God's Word, and it's in black and white, which means that this is not going to change. And even though there are changes, there have been changes over the years in different translations, and even manuscript changes, you realize that we're dealing with over 90% accuracy over the course of history, that this book has remained consistently the same. The changes in the other translations and things are not like you open it up and it says, to be saved, you need to bow down to the golden picture of Jesus, and then you'll get saved. We're not talking about that. The changes around are small changes. You can preach the gospel from any one of those translations. You can do that. Now, there are some that may get to where we get worried about it because there's some things that could teach some false things, but really, you could teach the gospel from any. We have an accurate translation of God's Word, and it's unchanging. The message has not changed since God gave it. That's really a miracle when you think about it. The New Testament is 2,000 years old. The Old Testament goes even further back than that, and it's still the same. I mean, the message is consistent throughout history, and the reason we have that is so much more. It's so much better. I almost said so much more better. Oh my goodness! Don't tell my teacher. It's so much better. It's so much better than if we just had word of mouth you know, all throughout history, we've got a solid translation of God's Word right here, an accurate translation of God's Word that we can use to help us understand what's right. That's the light that's been brought in. Why is that there? Because we wouldn't get it otherwise. God's given us that. And when you take the Word of God, and then when you take the Spirit of God, and those work together, the Spirit of God within our hearts helps us to understand and helps that light to come on when we read the Word of God, and it illuminates even more. And then there's one more thing that God has given us, and that's, of course, the church or preachers, teachers of the Bible. And I'm not puffing up myself as a preacher, but because I'm going to tell you how this balances out. God will put a desire in the heart of some to desire to be the Bible uses the word a bishop or a preacher or a teacher. And that's a good thing. That's a good desire. And that means that that person, that individual may devote his life to studying the Bible and to trying to become, I'm going to use the word, an expert in God's Word. And I use that word because Paul told Timothy not to, that whenever he said the qualifications of a pastor is that he's not to be a novice. He's not to be a newbie who's just now starting out and just now trying to figure out what this is all about. He says that's not the kind of person you need teaching the Bible. You need someone who knows, not that they're going to be perfect, but they can't be totally fresh. They don't have a clue what they're doing. You need someone, because that's important, because they need to be devoting their life to understanding and teaching the Bible. And that's what a preacher should do. Now, you can't just have a preacher and not those other two things. That's bad. That's where you have things called cults, where someone just comes up and says, you don't need the Bible and you don't need to think. Just let me tell you what to do. Let's all move down to Africa and start a colony together and whatever. You know, that's where weird things start happening. So how it works, and this is awesome because this is how it works together. A preacher cannot say something that the Bible, well, he can, but he ought not ever say something that the Bible does not. It needs to come right out of here. And it needs to come out of here in context. And preaching needs to be in context. If you ever hear me pull some verse out of here and you start reading the verses before and after, and I hope you do, and you say, that doesn't make sense according to what this chapter says. Oh, you should call me out on that just like that. Maybe wait till I'm done preaching. But because you want to make sure that that's right. A preacher ought not ever to say something that's not right here. But if he is, and he says something that's right there, and you're hearing, and you're looking, and that's what it says right there, and inside the Holy Spirit of God is shining that light on something. Now, you may not like it. I may not like it. It may be uncomfortable. But if it's true, then there should be green lights going on everywhere saying, that's true. That's true. That's right here. That's the Holy Spirit saying, that's it. And that's how it works. And the reason that this works, God brings in the candle. You don't bring in birthday candles for no reason. You bring it in because someone's having a birthday. And God's bringing in the light because there's things that need to be uncovered. There's things that need to be revealed, and we need to know it. And so that's why he says here, there's nothing hidden that's not to be manifest. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. There's hidden stuff here, but it's there to be found. It's not hidden to tease us or to keep us from something or to only be found by the No, it's hidden so that only those who are ready for it will find it. You're not going to find it until you're prepared for it, until you're seeking it. The reason the disciples got to learn about the soils is because they went and they asked Jesus about it. And those who are ready, those who are seeking, are of the mindset that they will be ready to hear. And he says eventually, all things are going to be manifest. All things are going to be known, which is really exciting. There's nothing there in this Bible that through the teaching of the Holy Spirit and God's Word that He cannot help you understand. And that's really exciting. He didn't keep us in the dark about things. He gave us light in order for us to understand how that's supposed to be. Now, even though that light is available, this next parable, and it kind of seems unrelated, but we're gonna work with these a little bit, because even though that light is available, he then says in verse 24, take heed what ye hear. So be careful what you hear. Take heed is a word of warning. He's like, hey, warning, be careful what you hear, because how you hear is going to affect your future, and he begins to explain how. And he's going to change pictures a little bit. So he's going to go from hearing, and then he starts talking about, he compares your hearing with a measure. And that's what he says, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. So when it says to meet something out, that's talking, that M-E-T-E, meet, isn't like the pork ribs we had for lunch. That's not that kind of meat, okay? It's to measure something out. If you're going to divide something up, that's what he's talking about. Now, some of us are slower than others, and I'm slow at times, so I had to really start figuring out what is he talking about. He's talking about how you hear. When you show up to hear, you have a certain way you're planning on dividing that out, a certain measure that you show up with. Let me describe it like this. Let's say that, of course, it's just after Halloween time, which, like I said, we are flowing with candy right now, okay? And my kids like candy, and that's fine, and I probably act like I'm throwing more of a fit than I am. If they were closing their ears right now, I'd say that's fine, don't worry about it. But to them, I make it out to be like, candy's awful, which it is. It's really bad for you, but that's okay. So don't take this and say, oh, he doesn't want us giving his kids candy. It's fine. Just go with the illustration for just a minute. So let's say that I told Simon, next Sunday, Brother Howard has tons of candy that he's found, and he said, if you bring a bag of candy, he will fill it up with candy. Okay? Now, my son Simon's pretty smart, so he's going to find a bag, but instead of him finding a bag, I'm going to find a bag for him. Actually, Brother Mark found this bag back here. Here's a bag. Take this bag, and he's got unlimited supply of candy. He's got all the candy in the world, and he will fill up whatever bag you bring. I'm embarrassing him now. So if Simon shows up with this bag of candy right here, this is the one I would approve of. I'm like, okay, use this bag, and he will fill that sucker up. That's probably a little bit too much, but that'll be all right. So there's the bag of candy. Now, he's smart, and so he's going to say, well, can I bring, and this is how it would go. He'd say, can I bring any bag? I'm like, well, yeah, that's what he said. I mean, I'm just suggesting, because I'm your father and I'm a killjoy, that you should bring this one, but you can bring whichever bag you want. So he goes to his brother Jack, and he says, hey, we need to find a bag. And so they find this bag. They said, well, he said he's going to fill up a bag, so I'm going to bring this bag. You said any bag, and so this would be the bag of candy. Would you guys like that? Yeah. Oh, they've got a sugar high right now. The sermon just became interesting, okay? So that's how that goes. So they show up with this. Now, you can bring whatever measure you want, and he's going to fill it up. And I'm going to see if I can set that down there so they can keep... Well, they might pay attention the whole sermon now. So you're not going to bring the small bag. You're going to bring the jumbo bag along the way. Now, here's the point. What he said is, take heed what ye hear, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. If you show up to hear, you want to show up to hear the truth. That's what he's saying. The mysteries, you're going to learn. Disciples are, he's saying, it's all here. The light's coming in to illuminate the truth. The mysteries are going to be revealed. Now, be careful how you hear, because if you show up to hear, then that's the measure that's going to be given to you. If you show up to hear like this much, well, then that's all the truth you're going to get. If you show up to any one of these things, if you have this, if you've allowed the Holy Spirit this much access to your life, well, then that's what he's going to illuminate. And there's a whole lot in your life you're going to miss. There's going to be a whole lot that the Holy... Sometimes we allow the Holy Spirit access to one room of the many of our life. And I heard a illustration one time of, and then sometimes we say, oh, and he says, I want to go in that room. We say, okay, so we say, oh, you can go in that room. I'm going to build a little closet in that room first. And so we build a little closet, and we say, you can have access to everything out here. And he says, I went in that closet. We say, oh, okay. So he goes into the closet, everything, and we put everything in a shoebox up in the corner. It's like, anything in the closet. He says, what's in that box? And so he wants everything. If we only allow him access to this much, then that's all we're going to get out of that. And if we approach our Bible reading and say, well, I'm only going to, you know, I have the Word of God, it's going to illuminate certain areas of my life, but we don't give it the priority in our life, or we only give it about that much priority in our life, well, then that's probably why we're not advancing as fast as maybe others around us, or maybe even as fast as we know our potential could be. There were some fruits that were 30, 60, and some 100-fold. You may be a 30-fold potential plant, and you're only producing a little bit, and that could be why, because the hearing is wrong. You're showing up with a different measure. Or when it comes to preaching, sometimes we come to church and it's a different measure that maybe we show up with. He says, whatever measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. This is true of so many areas. It's true that this is true even just with study. And I remember approaching this way, even in school, even in college, where there may be a particular subject that you know you're going to hate. And you're like, I hate this subject. And so I'm just going to do the bare minimum. I'm just going to squeak by. I hate it. I don't want anything to do with it. And so you give it about that much attention. And in the end, guess what? You only got about that much or less out of it because you didn't put any into it. And then there may be another subject that you say, you know what? I need to invest in this. And so you take the time, you take the effort to study, to do extra projects, to do whatever it takes, to pay attention in class. You know, there were times in Bible college where there'd be guys that worked all night and they would be standing in the back of the room so they wouldn't fall asleep because they knew I need to get this and I'm about ready to fall asleep and it's hard to fall asleep if I'm standing. So they'd stand up and listen. Now, if anyone's standing during the sermon, I'll know it's just had a rough time. And that's all right. That's all right. Whatever it takes. And there would be people that do that because sometimes you have to put more time into it. I remember one class that I took. I knew that when I was a freshman, and this is, I just thought weird. I was like, you know what? By the time I'm a senior, I hope that I'm getting married. And so, it turned out I was, but at the time I wasn't really sure who or anything. So I was like, I'm going to start doing extra classes so that my senior year, it'll be a little bit of a lighter year. And so there was one class that I decided that I found out I could take on my own. And it was major prophets, which is, you know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, some books that you read. I'm right in the middle of Ezekiel in my Bible reading right now. And even now you read some of those books and sometimes you're just like, what are they talking? It's, you know, they're kind of heavy at times. You're reading through and sometimes you get into these prophecies and it's just, I mean, at least for me, that's just how I am. I'm reading it and like, wow, this is rough. And so I'm studying those out and it was rough, but I brought my big bag to that one. I was like, okay, I want to really study this out. It was the year Heather and I were traveling on the singing group. And that summer I was doing an independent study on my own. I had to study these books and outline them and write sermons from them and just really study it out. And I learned more from that study than a lot of other things that I did. And the reason is because I put more time into it. I put more time into it instead of just saying, I'll do the bare minimum and squeak by. I put time into that and the Lord blessed that and I got more out of it along the way. It didn't happen because I was lucky or because, like we talked in Proverbs, there's some that just seem to get it. Well, the reason they're getting it is because they show up with understanding. We need to approach our study that way. We need to approach our worship that way. When we come into a church service, sometimes people come to church, and I'm just saying in general, I'm not talking about here tonight, I'm just saying sometimes folks may come to church just to get out of it, just to see what they can get out of church. And they come, it's almost like they come just daring the preacher or the song leader to bless them, like, I dare you to bless me, you know, and they just kind of show up that way. And you know what, it's not surprising that they're rarely pleased. I mean, they show up like a, you know, like a Roman king, like entertain me, you know, do something there, you know, and they show up with about this much, or nothing. They just show up to get, and it doesn't work as well. Some come prepared to give in some way, maybe to teach or to be an encouragement or to be a blessing along the way. And how you show up, your attitude, if you're coming up with a selfish attitude, well, then that's the measure that's going to be used to give right back to you. And it's no wonder that sometimes we leave empty-handed with that. Some people come without any expectation at all. They just kind of come to church without expecting anything to happen. And that is easy to happen in our culture where we've been used to coming to church, some of us, for years and years and years. And so Sunday morning comes along and it's like we're on autopilot. You know, we're getting up, we're getting kids ready, we get dressed, we get in the car, we go to church, we show up. It may be halfway through the service before we're like, where am I? What's happening? Oh, yeah. You know, and because we just do it. It's just kind of what we did. And if God showed up, sometimes it'd be kind of unexpected because we didn't come with expectations. We didn't think it'd be like showing up for Candy Day with Brother Howard and we didn't bring anything. We're just like, oh, I forgot God was going to bless me. And we don't get anything sometimes because we don't show up expecting it. Sometimes we come and we're not prepared for it at all, and we haven't even really thought in advance about it. And I think of going through some times in my life, and you probably have too, where you're going through a particularly rough time. Have you ever had this happen where you're just going through a particularly rough time in your life, and you know a Sunday rolls around, and it's before the service, and you're getting ready, and you're just saying, Lord, I just need to worship you today. I just need a blessing today. I just need to praise you today, and just to spend my mind is full of the things that have been going on. I just need to put that behind me and just to focus on you today and to worship and to hear from your word. And Lord, I'm just ready for whatever you want for me today. I'm just coming ready. And it's almost like you're saying, Lord, I need you to fill this thing up because I'm empty and I need something. And I can tell you the times that I've come to church like that. I mean, there have been times where I've been at a low, low, low point, and I have tears flowing before the preaching. I mean, I'm just, even the songs that are being sung, and that's why I say I love these songs because they're rich in meaning. And there's times where you're singing these rich old hymns, and you're just like, this is exactly where I am right now. And you just it's like God just fills you up, and then the preaching starts, and you're hearing the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God is right there. He's like your shepherd, just feeding you exactly what you need. And it's just a wonderful time. And sometimes we don't have that because we show up sometimes with very little expectations. We just think, well, it's just going to be another service, you know, it's going to be another thing. And sometimes our hearing, we're just not coming prepared that way. He says, if you come to hear and take care of what you hear and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you, and unto you that hear, if you're a hearing person, well, shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Goes right along with that proverb. There are some that it just seems like they get it. Well, the reason they get it is because they're hearing from God and they're learning from God, and that motivates them to hear more. I mean, man, if you get this bag filled up this week and you find out that next week you get to do that again, well, man, you're going to be doing that every day. You're going to keep the dentist in business for years doing things that way. And when it comes to our relationship with God, when we show up ready to hear, then he says, if you hear, then you're going to be given more. But those that don't, it's like what little they do have, it just sort of evaporates. It's two very different ways of hearing the truth. You either use it or you're going to lose it, is what he's saying here. There are those that have fertile hearts. They're soaking up the truth. They've got that soil that's right where it needs to be. And the Word of God is coming in. The candle is coming in, illuminating hearts. The Spirit of God is working, and they're growing along the way. And they're going to get more and more truth. But those that reject it, they'll begin to decline along the way. The spiritual life is there's not a holding pattern. There's not a pause. There's not a time where we just stop. We're either declining or we're advancing along the way. And so Jesus is urgently telling his disciples here, and there's some urgency there where he says, take heed, give attention to this with how you hear, and there's some things to uncover. There's some things to understand here along the way, but we need to be very careful about that. If we hear, and this is what's so cool about this, Jesus is teaching his disciples this because as they learn, as they receive understanding, and as they come ready to hear everything, they're going to be the ones to pass that on to the next generation. He's training them to teach. He's training them to receive this information and then to pass it on. And it is a joy to see the next generation hear and take that and move forward. And that's what he's preparing his disciples to do, is to take this. And we could connect a little bit of this to the idea of the candle under the bushel from Matthew, where once you have the truth, then your job is to take that and share it with the next generation along the way. When it's been illuminated for you and you've learned, now we pass that on to others. And it's a joy to do that. I love hearing Brother Tom talk about his investment in the Coats and the Blanchards and just the ministry that he had with them. Because now, as we read their letters and things, and sometimes we joke about it because, you know, he'll tell us about the Blanchards, and he'll have to tell us a story about the Blanchards and that and everything. But it's wonderful because he is seeing the results of his investment in their life being played out on their mission field, and it's a thrill to be able to see that and to be able to be a part of that. So what Jesus is telling his disciples here is that there is truth to be found. It's there. It's hidden. It's not just sitting right here on the surface ready to be picked up like some kind of gold mining legend from back during the gold rush. It's just laying there on the surface. Just go pick it up. That's not what Jesus is offering. It's there. It's not terribly difficult to find, but Jesus has given us a way to find it. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Scripture. He's given us the church and preachers to help, and those all work together. God's revelation is given to us so that we can glorify Christ and so that His work can continue. But while He's given us that illumination, we are responsible for what we receive. It's your job to show up with whichever measure you're going to show up with. If we're going to show up to our morning devotion saying, Lord, I'm ready to receive your word today. I'm ready, because sometimes, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm in the major prophets in my Bible reading right now, and I'm going through, and sometimes I'm showing up like this. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what you're going to give me out of these books, but I hope I can get something out of it. Hey, shame on me. Shame on me. There's good stuff in there completely. And sometimes the reason, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? Because sometimes the reason I'm only getting about that much is because the Lord's saying, well, son, I've got a whole lot more for you, but you're only giving me this little dinky bag to give you. Why don't you show up saying, Lord, I'm ready. You know, fill her up. I'm ready to learn from there. And, you know, not to say that there won't be dry times, but we are responsible for how we receive these things. We have the Holy Spirit if we're saved, but are we hearing? We have the scriptures. It's there. Same Bible as every other person has, but are we studying it out? We have a church. We have, you know, we have teaching that goes on here, but do we show up prepared to hear? We all have opportunity to receive the truth, but are we using those opportunities? Are we using it? Because you'll either use it or you'll lose it, is what he says here. That's why some Christians just can't get out of that spiritual kindergarten, out of that spiritual first grade. They just can't get past it. It's not that they're just slow. No, the truth is there, but we got to be willing to receive it along the way. That's why sometimes we're still in the dark about some things, because we're not ready to listen along the way. God's ways. And the truth is there to be known. It's hidden, but it's there so that it can be known. The question is, are we listening to it? Are you listening to God's instruction, and are you showing up with the big bag to what God has to do in your life? I'm not teaching prosperity gospel. Don't take that the wrong way or anything. We're talking about truth, and it's there. It's right there if we will be willing to receive it. So I hope that's an encouragement for you as you continue to seek the Lord, whether that's the matters of church or your spiritual devotions, your personal devotions, or any of those things, to just consider, how am I listening? How am I hearing? Jesus repeats over and over, you got ears. If you have ears, well, let them hear. And so they're there. The Holy Spirit's there. We've got all the equipment. Now we just need to learn to use it right. And the disciples are learning this. We'll get back to some stories of the disciples, and they're slow learning with these things. And so we'll be able to identify with that at times. But the instruction's there. You got ears, let's use them. We got the truth and the illumination there, but we got to use it, or else we'll lose those opportunities. All right? Well, let's stand. We'll have a hymn of invitation, and then we'll dismiss tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word.